with Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich. You know, if you want to re-listen to this episode, because why wouldn't you? I mean, come on. Everything is available at civicmedia.us. Download it, like it, share it, all of the things. I also want to touch on briefly, or not briefly, I don't know. I mean, you know, our community was in the news for not all the greatest of reasons. There was a video that I think has kind of become infamous. It didn't happen in Green Bay. It was in Schwabenon, you know. But there was an employee that accosted customers for being Somali. And she said, you know, she was proudly talking about the fact that she was a racist. She called them a word that we can never, ever say, and there is no excuse for saying it. She's raised about $100,000 for that, which is ridiculous. But I think you did something pretty cool and stood with the Somali community in Green Bay. Talk about that. It shouldn't have ever been something that needed to be said.
Yeah, and unfortunately, right? I think there's like a larger context to it that
I want
to
talk. Yeah,
people are aware of, but you know, when the president of the United States is referring to an entire nationality or ethnicity as garbage people. Yep. It creates this permission structure where people feel empowered to be really awful to one another. And, you know, so when something like that happens and you're the mayor of a community like Green Bay, that's incredibly diverse. You know, you just feel an obligation to stand with those who have been attacked. And so in this case, it was the Somali community, the refugee community, immigrants generally. And, so gathered with Saeed Hassan, who is very active with KAMSA, which is a primarily Somali organization, although they've done a lot of great work with Ukrainian refugees in recent years, helping them relocate and resettle. Members of our Equal Rights Commission, other community-based organizations, just, you know, a number of alders, average citizens just coming out to say, hey, we're, you know, we're all residents of Green Bay and we got your back. You know, when somebody attacks an individual or a group or a class of people, you know, based on their appearance or their nationality or background, it's just, it's not acceptable.
Right.
And the point that I was just trying to make is like, you know, we have a civic obligation, a patriotic responsibility to stand up for this country's values, right? And we're going to be celebrating America's 250th birthday.
We're a nation of immigrants.
In 2026. Yep. And, you know, what are we celebrating? The Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
Right? And says, we're all born equal.
Yep.
And we're entitled to certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And pursuit of happiness, you know, people, I think, sometimes overlook and don't necessarily take into account that when that was written, it was really about like the cultivation of a good life. Mm. And when you are attacking a group of people, you're interfering with their ability to live their lives in a decent way that we all... you know, should expect to be able to do. And so I think we all have a responsibility. I have a heightened responsibility being the mayor of this community to call that stuff out. But I think we all do. And it's been unfortunate to see, you know, some people sort of making this like a both sides kind of a thing. It's like, this doesn't need to be a partisan issue. And even if the president is your guy, you don't have to agree with an elected official that you've supported on every single thing that they say. So maybe like take a beat and say, you know what? No, I'm going to call out racism and say that, you know, that's not in keeping with who we are as people.
It's okay to say that it's wrong when it's so blatantly wrong.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's interesting. And we talk, it feels like I get my teeth kicked in sometimes, you know, because there's so much that you have to push back on, whether it's, you know, that or the attacks on the LGBT community and, you know, the administration doing things like looking to end birthright citizenship and, you know, now immigrants or people that are coming with visas have to open up their social media. They're talking like, this is nuts, dude. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And, you know, to circle back, I mean, I think we have an opportunity to, I talked about last week, if there is someone that's in elected office and they are hurting a community and not representing, I called out Tony Weed, you don't have to say anything, but he's terrible. There is a guy, I kind of made a little bit of a name for myself by fighting against our buddy Ron Johnson. And he needs to go. And he's not doing anything to help your community or any community in Wisconsin. And you talked about that you have a friend that is that you'd like to see defeat Ron Johnson.
Oh,
talk
yeah.
about that. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Mandela Barnes running for governor. So he ran against Ron Johnson, you know, a few years back.
Yep.
But taking a shot at the governor's office this time around. And I served with Mandela when I ran for office, ran for state assembly for the first time back in 2012. He was in that class that also was elected to the state assembly. So I've had the opportunity to work with him.
You worked with Tom Tiffany as well.
I guess so.
I mean, I'm not with him, but he was what, Senate?
Yes. He was still working in Madison at that time. I don't think, you know, we worked on any bills with one another, but
I would imagine not.
Yeah, no. he was in the Capitol at that time. And you know, so have, you know, been able to work with Mandela, but also follow his career.
Yes. He's amazing.
Since state assembly, you know, he's obviously been our lieutenant governor.
Yep.
And for me, you know, what I've always just really appreciated about him is like the vision that he has for politics, which is bigger than, you know, just getting into these petty partisan fights.
Yes.
Right. Politics is about using power to improve the lives of people that don't have access.
He was darn close in that Senate race too.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, he almost did.
And it would have been history making to defeat an incumbent senator in that environment.
Year,
still was within, you know, several thousand votes, within a percentage point.
Him being governor would be a history making thing too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really, you know, excited to be able to be supporting his candidacy and looking forward to seeing him elected.
What I like about Mandela is, he didn't come from this flowery background, or, you know, he had to fight for everything that he did and that he got, and you know, he rose to be the lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin. Like that's a big thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's a very big thing.
And he's a humble guy.
Yep.
So why him?
Well, like I was saying, I mean, it's his vision of politics that I think is really most compelling, that it's about improving the lives of working people and those that don't have access, you know, to those levers of power traditionally. That's really inspiring to me, but also, you know, just the experience that he has working as lieutenant governor to Tony Evers as governor.
Yep.
You know, he knows what needs to be done. He also, like I said, you know, was elected to the state assembly along with me. So, you know, having somebody.
Oh, you're in the same class?
Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So that's, I mean, it's kind of a while back now, unfortunately.
Don't say that.
It's like over a dozen years.
Yeah.
At this point, but
you guys aren't old though.
You know, having someone, he's younger than me, but I'm a little old. Having somebody who understands the legislature.
Yeah.
Right? Because in order to do, we don't wave wands. You know, you don't wave a wand as mayor of the city of Green Bay. It requires a common council, the legislative body, to actually adopt policies. And the same is clearly true of being the governor of the state of Wisconsin. And so, you know, having somebody that appreciates what that legislative role is, how it's best to work with them, you know, what you need to do to get people at the table and you know, agree on different concepts and policies. I think that's also going to be really helpful.
Yeah, and he's a great leader. I asked Ahmad Rivera because he endorsed him as well, and I said, you know, why him? And he said, because he had the back of people of Green Bay,
right?
And we're going to have his back too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. When he was out of office, you know, he was leading a group called Power to the Polls. You know, just did a lot of great work mobilizing working class people to show up and express their vote.
Yeah. What are the challenges that you see in your job in the city of Green Bay in, you know, the next 4 years that you're going to have to tackle?
I mean, it comes back to what we were talking about earlier with the budget. It's just the dollars and cents aspect of things.
Unanimous. You got that passed unanimously.
We did.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I hope people realize that that's a big deal to be able to do that.
Right. Yeah. You know, Mayor Schmidt used to joke that 8-4 was unanimous when he was mayor. But it really is like kind of a different era of local politics in Green Bay. We've got, you know, a city council that has a diverse set of opinions.
Oh,
right? There's no question about that. But we're able to come together on, you know, 99% of issues.
I mean, you have someone on your city council who was Moms for Liberty, like led the Stop the Steal rally in Green Bay, and then fast forward, I don't know, you know, what if she had a Scrooge moment like I did, but she's like doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I try to have a short memory with a lot of right. with a lot of stuff.
But right? I also think that says a lot about you and your character, where you don't see that. You see, the pothole is not a Republican or Democrat pothole.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what's the issue? You know, what can we do to address it? And we figure out how to collaborate and make things happen. But yeah, as far as things that are facing us, you know, in the future, it's financial more than anything, just as far as municipalities in the state of Wisconsin being overly reliant on property taxes.
What do you do about that?
It's not good. And it holds us back as a state because our municipalities can't be as competitive as we might be with other communities around the country. Because the first number that people oftentimes look at is like, oh, what are the property taxes like in this community? And Wisconsin's are just, you know, they're just out of line with a lot of other states. Yep. And so, you know, one thing that I've been talking a fair amount about, a broken record on, is, you know, advocating for some flexibility with regard to those revenue streams. Mm. So a local option sales tax is something that I've advocated for repeatedly.
Milwaukee does that.
They do. Yep. They got the right to do that with Act 12, as it's called, not this past session, but the one before. That piece of legislation also was very helpful to us as a city. So we received another $3 million from the state of Wisconsin in shared revenue.
Wow.
Which is great. But if you go back to 1999, if things had just increased, you know, in tandem with inflation, the city would be receiving another $24 million from the state of Wisconsin. So if that were the case, you know, it would essentially eliminate our annual borrowing request. Right, would radically reduce the amount of borrowing that we have to do from the city's point of view, would enable us to do, you know, a lot more as far as infrastructural improvements, roads, bridges, facilities, and the like.
So, and one of the things that too, we only got like a minute left, but it was a really big deal where you guys worked with the school board to break out what people are paying in taxes on the Green Bay City tax bill.
Sure.
Between the school district and vouchers.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, one thing that I actually worked on when I was in the state legislature, you know, we've been advocating for voucher school transparency for a number of years. But thanks to, you know, people like Representative Rivera Wagner, who, you know, worked with us with the Department of Revenue to figure out exactly how we could put this on a property tax bill. We were able, and thanks to our support, obviously, from our common council, we're going to be doing that or have done that for the first year with property taxes that are going out, you know, on your tax bill. It'll just say, you know, very clearly, this is, you know, X millions of dollars that are going, you know, from our public schools to private voucher schools.
Yeah.
And it, even for people that, you know, support them, right?
Yeah.
That support that kind of system of education, it's just telling people what the facts are, right? And so that's why, from my point of view, felt like it was a worthwhile effort and something that we should offer people.
10 seconds left. Are you going to, you got another term in you?
We'll see.
You'll see?
Yeah.
I hope, you know, so.
Got to sit down with the wife and the kids and make sure it's still something
that
people are up for.
Yeah, right
on. Yeah, we got time.
Dude, thank you so much. Yeah. We'll be right back with my thoughts after this. And again, thank you so much to Mayor Eric Genrich. Go Packers, go.